Like I said to you earlier, it's unusual to talk about revenge in church as a possibility, even a good thing. And so I want to just kind of explain the thing that we're trying to get at with this series that we will be working our way through. Now, in the church calendar, in the church world, we have, of course, church calendar. You know, there's like the church calendar when the meetings are, but there's the bigger church calendar, which is like, well, Christmas is this date, Easter is this date, and all these other kind of pieces, like Lent and Advent and things like that. So after Christmas, a few days after that, we have Epiphany, right there at the beginning of January, and that's when we remember a number of things, including the star that comes and leads the wise people, wise persons, into the presence of Jesus. And then there is this season that happens after that, before Lent. So it's called the season of Epiphany, but it's this kind of like weird time waiting for Lent. Okay? It's not weird, but it's, this is what we're going to do. And it's also a great time to kind of think about what it is that we're doing in our new year, with the new life, the new kind of chapter that we've been given, with all that is new, there it is. And so we're going to be talking about, during the course of this, this notion that living well is the best revenge, okay? Now, this is a phrase that's been kicked around for a while now. This was originally, I did a deep dive looking for it. George Herbert in the 1600s wrote a little book called, Weird Sayings. How great is that? If I saw that on a shelf, I would pull that right off, You remember a few years ago, there was like Weird Virginia and Weird Canada and all Weird Kentucky and all that. Well, this is from a book, actually, what's it called? Outlandish Proverbs by George Herbert. And here's a sample of a few of the things that you would find in George's book. And these are like a collection of wisdom sayings that, he just kind of heard. He sort of ran into, there might be some other author. It may be just common knowledge. Man prospereth, God disposeth. Okay. Poverty is no sin. He begins to die that quits his desires. Everyone is a master and a servant. Right. That's a Bob Dylan, right? You got to serve somebody, right? Had to get the Bob Dylan reference in. He that trusts in a lie shall perish in truth. And living well is the best revenge. Now, not that we are looking to take revenge on people, although that's easy to reference. And if you just Google, you can find YouTube videos about how people have understood this phrase for a long time. It's like somebody does something terrible to you. Well, I'll show you. Maybe there's a side of that that makes a little sense. Or maybe it's just something to aspire to. All right, Frank Sinatra. Sinatra fans in here? I'm one. I saw him years and years ago. Frank Sinatra said that the best revenge is massive success. Right? Old blue eyes. What were you thinking? And actually, there's kind of, maybe some truth to that? I don't know. The Jewish law, there's for a very, very faithful group of Jewish folks, there's the understanding of what you find in the Old Testament. But then there's centuries of interpretation on top of that. There's a thing called the Talmud, which is sort of like case law to interpret all those things. And so one layer of that wrote about this very issue and wrote this. I'm reading from that passage. if you really want to take revenge against your enemy, acquire more good qualities and walk in the path of righteousness. In doing so, you will inevitably take vengeance against your enemy, for he will be distressed over your good qualities, and he will be grieved over your good reputation. So, over these next few weeks, in this series, we're going to work on the whole business of being on the path of righteousness, of nurturing those good qualities, not because you really want to stick it to somebody, or perhaps you might. You might want to kind of say to someone who has not thought you capable of good qualities, who has not thought you capable of righteousness, even that part within yourself that says, yeah, no, you know, that's... Perhaps we need to show them something. So in this series, we'll explore living well. And we'll do that through the lens of prayer and living in relationship, good relationship with other people, getting rest and doing things that renew us as people, good use of our resources that we have in our life, growing in our relationship with God through spiritual practices. And today, we're going to talk about forgiveness. All right, so to do that, you need to see this. How could you do that to me? That might be a bath, that might be left in the rain. I don't know. And I hope you can, you know, the image is not as strong as when you see it on a smaller screen, but just look in our friend's eyes, you know? And what do you see? Total, absolute disgust, right? How could you? You know, I have been so good to you, I would run and see you when you came home, and I only pooped on your carpet twice, and I bit your brother-in-law. Okay, I did that, but he deserved it. His poor, broken heart. I cannot believe you did this to me. Now, we have been the giver of that look and the receiver of that look, probably more often than we would care to acknowledge. And it's part of our life. It's part of the human engagement to break faith, to blow it. Recently, I had an encounter with a person that I liked, who was a person that I had worked with and thought kind of highly of. And in a situation, by the way, this is not anyone connected to Sterling United Methodist Church. This is not staff. This is not layperson. No one in this room is involved in what I'm going to say. Although, I can tell you, we'll probably take our turn at that somewhere along the line, okay? But this colleague of mine told a big, fat lie. And it wasn't like, you know, in a moment, kind of like, you know, that I was experiencing weakness and I wasn't sure what to say. No, this person concocted the lie, right? And they stirred it up like in a cauldron, right? They baked that lie. And that lie was a dolly whopper, okay? That lie was like someone rolled in a big barrel of sick eels into the living room and popped open the lid, right? That was a lie. Was it a lie? Yes, it was a lot. And boy, did that make me mad. That was my face, right? I was mad at first. And, you know, that what the situation was going on. And then I was mad that the person told this, like, series of concocted lies. And then I was mad that that person would think that I would believe that series of concocted lies. You see what I'm saying? This is like a, you know, wave after wave after wave of disappointment and disillusionment, and how could you, and why would you, and come on. And I lost a lot of respect for that person, and I kind of came into a place of going, I just don't know. I remember driving to church. I was heading to work one day, and I was thinking about this. No, I wasn't thinking about it. I was wrestling some eels, all right? So I had like two or three eels in my hand while I'm trying to drive. By the way, if you ever see me drive, watch out, because I may have eels in my hand. And I'm like wrestling those eels, like... And the eels were biting back, you know, and they were sick, and they were like shedding stuff on me, and it was just bad. Sorry for the gross image. But this is where it goes, doesn't it? And so this anger and disappointment and loss of respect kind of sat inside there. And I remembered... I remembered that I had been forgiven for similar things. And I probably thrown some eels in somebody's living room too. Oh, I know I have. And I heard the voice of God say, You have been forgiven. Remember that? Now, I have been with you long enough to tell you the thing that I frequently tell people, which is about forgiveness, which is that forgive and forget is one of the worst things that you can hear about forgiveness, right? I think forgive and forget was actually developed by someone who was trying to gaslight somebody. You know? Oh, just forget about it. Just forgive them and just forget about it. Even parts of the scripture will say, you know, you need to forgive 70 times 7. You know, forgiveness is something that you're going to have to kind of come back to again and again. But there's the whole business of what do you do with all of the feelings and all of them, you know, what do you do with the eels, right? So I found, and I heard the Lord reminding me that the best thing to do is to forgive and remember. So I want to spend some time with you talking about forgiving and remembering. I don't know why that is on the screen. That's the, you know, hit this button so that you'll forgive. That couldn't have come out better. That's so cool. Forgive and remember these things. Forgive and remember that you have messed up yourself and you have been forgiven. For those things. You have been forgiven by people in your life for sure, and you have been given the forgiveness of Christ Jesus through the course of what we understand to be our reconciliation. That Jesus' death and suffering and resurrection on the cross is tied to what you have done. I don't want you to take that as guilt. I want you to be reminded, however, that is liberation for you. that Jesus opens a door for where you can enter into outside of that prison. Forgive and remember to forgive again, right? So I have found myself forgiving something from someone. In fact, this whole business that I told you about, I worked, you know, to forgive. And in a moment, I was able to say, I forgive that person for that dolly whopper of a lie. I forgive them. I forgive them. And the next day, the eel shows up and slithers its way right up onto my feet and bites me, right? Oh, man, there it is once again. And what do I have to do? I have to go through, remember what I did before, and offer it again. And you do it over and over. Jesus says, even if someone sins against you 7 times in one day, and that's pretty ambitious, you know? Even if someone sins against you 7 times in one day and returns to you 7 times and says, I am changing my ways. By the way, this is small children, right? I am changing my ways. You must forgive that person. Now, notice from the reading that we just heard what the apostles say back to Jesus. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Because this is hard. We have to forgive and remember that the brokenness of people, including the brokenness that we would recognize within our own families, within our own communities, within our own selves, the brokenness of people needs to be understood as part of life. In Colossians, the writer says, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forgive and remember to set boundaries to avoid future abuse. Now, this is an important one, and we have to make sure that it is part of the package that people carry around within themselves. Because, true, we are asked to, you know, go the second mile, to forgive again and again. But what we are not asked to do is to allow people to walk all over us and abuse us during the course of our life. You can forgive someone and still draw boundaries that would be healthy for you. You're in charge of your own set of boundaries. And people don't like it when you put boundaries up. People do not like it, and they will push against you, and they will kind of like try to figure out a way to get around that. If this is a question or an issue with you, come talk to me. I can help you with this. And I certainly can give you some references to some books that have been helpful to me and might be helpful to you as well. But we have to understand that forgiveness releases us. And it also creates the possibility of something else, which we'll talk about in just a second. Forgive and remember to protect against abuse by other people, but you also need to forgive and understand, and please, please hear this, that when we forgive people, it does not justify what happened to you. It does not make it right. It does not lead to, oh, well, I deserve that. I can see how I should have been punished in this way. Oh, I see how I was wearing the wrong things. I was saying the wrong things. I deserved to get that. No. This became so very clear to me when I worked in a psychiatric hospital as a chaplain, and over again, we had this very conversation. It's not right what happened to you. It's not justified. But we have to find a way to get ourselves out of the trap that that person and what happened holds on to us. Forgiveness does not make what happened to you right, ever. And we need to forgive and remember to be open to the possibility, of reconciliation. So let me give you some technical words here. There is forgiveness, which is the idea that we say, I release what happened to me and all my feelings and the blame, I'm releasing that. I forgive you. Forgiveness is actually sometimes the most selfish thing we can do. That's forgiveness. Now, then there's reconciliation. And reconciliation is this. Let's be in relationship with each other. Perhaps we might build some respect back to where I can trust you again. And that would be my hope for this person that I'm struggling with. Now, that is possible, but it is also hard. And the Lord looks to us to try to be open to that. You would be surprised with that openness what you might find yourself stepping into. With boundaries and thought, but also bringing back someone who is a brother that was lost. A mom. A sister. A dad. But it's not always possible. Even, you know, with things like life events like death, people wonder, how can I forgive that person? They're gone. It's possible. You might not be able to reconcile, but you might be able to release yourself and move forward. A fellow from a church came to me one time and said, Pastor, I have to tell you that I am furious at this person. And here's why. And he told me, from his perspective, and I had to come, it took some time to come to understand what he was saying, but I believed him, how that person had trashed him inside of the community. Said terrible things about him. Now, it was bad enough that that person had done that. But also, when he was a young person, something had happened where someone lied about him to his parents. And in the course of that lie, he was severely punished. Unjustifiably, he understood, but severely punished and still bore the emotional and physical marks of that punishment. Even late in life, he was in his 70s. So this mistreatment by lie on top of that mistreatment by lie was breaking his heart. And we spent years going back and forth. And I would sometimes, you know, I feel like I need to offer the idea of forgiveness, and he would look at me like I was crazy. And I would say what I just said to you, and he would struggle with that and struggle with that. One day he came to me, and this is years. He came to me and he said, I'm still carrying this. And so I asked him to hold his hand as tight as it could be. And then I asked him, I put something into his hand. I'm like, you just hold on to that. Hold on to that as long as you can. And he sat there. He was in his 70s, but he was Army. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Now, the Marines are like, yeah, whatever. But he was Army. And he, with determination, held on to that thing until he's almost crying. And I ask him, can you hold on to what is broken here like that? And he looked at me like, I don't want to do that. He said that. I told him that I would tell the story. And he took that wood block that I had in the hand and he set it down. And we talked a little bit and he went on. But there was something that changed that day when he let it go. Wasn't the wood block, wasn't the hand, wasn't his strength. But he didn't want to do that anymore. I saw him recently. He had a twinkle in his eye and he said, I still haven't picked that back up. Have you talked to her, the person? He said, I see her from time to time. Still working on that. We are in the long race. We're in the long run here. But forgiveness can open the door for what needs to happen next. So I invite you all to do as that great saint of the church told us. Right? That great saint of the church, Taylor Swift, who said, shake it off, right? Or you might find yourself smelling like a wet dog. You pick. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.